And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy, going around the world, right from Power of Prophecy Studios here in Austin, Texas. I'm, of course, with you, naturally. I'm real flesh. And Jerry Barrett, he's I don't want to say assistant, but he's my helper, my coordinator and all here also working the machines. And he stays here every week and gets things to you and makes sure that I do things at the right time and all that. I appreciate Jerry very much. Well, today we're going to have a program like really no other. You know, I've always been fascinated in this subject. But for some reason, I have not been able to get the world interested. I don't know what it is. You know, people ask me why I do books and articles and radio programs on various subjects. And I think God puts them in my heart and I just want to do them. And some people say, well, that, you know, you... You've gone too far on that, or I get a lot of people that say, wow, Tex, you're way ahead of your time on that topic. And, you know, the topics that I think are going to be extremely exciting, I don't get much traffic. I mean, I don't get many people that write to me and say, hey, that was a great article or great book. But then the book that I do that seems to me sort of ho-hum, boy, those sell the best, and they really get out there to a big audience. I don't know just what it is. I guess people have different interests than I do. But this one, this interest is so, it's so incredible. You know, it involves religion, society, jobs, the economy, conscience. It's everything that you could want in a topic or a subject. And yet it has a fascination with technology, with the future, with what's next. For example, look in the mirror every morning, folks. What do you see? Well, no, don't tell me what you see. I know it's pretty rough, isn't it? You haven't shaved. You haven't done your hair. You haven't brushed your teeth. Okay, so you look pretty bad. I know you do. Well, get dressed. I'll come back in about 5 minutes, all right? Well, here's the point I'm trying to make. You just look like a human being, don't you? I suppose some of you are prettier than others. I'm not the prettiest, so I appreciate beauty in my wife, Wanda. That's right. I appreciate beauty in my wife, Wanda. I'm just an old lug. And I married up, so I appreciate that. And so let's just say you're a beautiful person. You know, most of the people that follow this ministry are beautiful people. I have conferences sometime, and I've seen many of you. And you're just beautiful people. You really are. And I'm just a big old lug that gets up there and somehow seems to make it through an hour of talking about some subject or other. And at least some of you appreciate me. And I you come up afterwards and thank me for my topic. But you look in the mirror and you're just a person, aren't you? How did you get here? What made God care about making you? You know, before the earth was formed, he made you in his mind. And Christ was formed too. You know, Christ was born, of course, around 2,000 years ago in the flesh. But it says he was with God from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So I believe we were too. But I don't think we had any consciousness. You weren't there formed as a human being. But in one sense, you were, because God saw the end from the beginning and, well, he, you know, sort of formed you in his mind. Now, we can't really fathom that, can we? Because, you know, God is so much more perfect than we are and so mathematically just ideal. Boy, I'd like to think about it. I'd like to. You know, I used to, as a kid, I would lay back on the grass in Nederland, Texas, a little town in East Texas. And I'd lay back on the grass, and then I'd look up at the sky at night particularly. You see the stars in the sky on a clear night. And you wonder if, you know, how you got here. How did we get here? Well, you know, I used to tell my friends, they didn't think that was a big question. They said, well, God put you here. God made you. I know, but who made God? Well, God was always God. Well, how could something always be? And I used to ask those questions. And that's before you know anything, right? You ask these questions. And when you get to be a big know-it-all, you already know it. And so you don't ask those questions anymore. Well, I'm going to ask you some questions today. You're a human being, but could human beings be going out of style? Could it be that there's a next generation of machines? Machines that might replace you? Could you be replaced by a cyborg, an android, artificial life, a robot? Could a robot take your job? Could he replace you? Could he replace you as a husband or wife? You say, oh, no, I'm quite essential, Tex. Of course I am. Really? That's not what the experts are saying. They're saying that robots are going to overtake mankind, and it could be in as soon as 10 or 20 years from now. And when they do, when that period called singularity is reached, when everything becomes the same, machine life and human life, or bionic life, I should say, and human life, then the machines will spurt ahead of mankind, and they will do their own thinking, their own planning, their own organizing, their own fixing, and solution. They'll have their own solutions. And then they won't need you anymore. I think it was in the book called I, Robot, that the woman scientist told a man named Jack about robots. She says, you know, they're a better breed than we are, Jack. Ooh, they're a better breed than we are. A better breed? You know, people argue all day over whether the black race or the white race or the Jews or the Gentiles are superior. Well, the Chinese seem to make better on mathematical scores. Maybe they're better, but wait just a minute now. The Indians over in India, they're doing great too, and the Indonesians. And which is the better race? Well, maybe this scientist is correct. Maybe the robots are the better breed. Why do we worry about race then? If we're going to be replaced, every race, whether Chinese or Japanese or whatever, if robots are better, well, they're going to be on the scene big time in 10 or 20 years. And if you're going to be around, then you may live to see it. What if they turn out better than you? What if they get their minds together and their bodies together? And what if they say, you know, we've got to do something with these useless human beings? And one robot says to the other, well, let's put them in a prison. Let's build a big prison. Everywhere around the world, build prisons and put them in. Well, the other robot says, but then you have to feed them. I don't want to have to feed these dumb people. They're worse than animals. Let's just go ahead and kill them off. And so they begin to mass kill people. Well, they could build some concentration camps, couldn't they? They could come and get you and take you away. And you would say, wait just a minute, I'm a human being. I have rights. And they say, well, what rights do you have? We're a better breed than you. I used to think things like this, and some people thought I was sort of strange for that. I wrote a book called The Personal Robot Book. It was the first book in the entire world that actually pictured personal robots. Now, I wrote that book, let's see, that was, it's 30 years ago or so, maybe 40. I can't remember now. It's available at bookstores. It was a selection of the Computer Book Club and the Electronics Book Club, and it was sort of celebrated, the first book in the world on personal robots. Every robot that was for sale. And then I went to the first international personal robot conference. Did you know they had such things as that? Well, that was the very first one in the whole world in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Wanda and I went. I was writing books on robots and computers and high tech back then. And so, you know, I carved out a career in that. And it's interesting that I went to one booth in the first International Personal Robots Conference there in Albuquerque. And they had these two robots. They were called Topo. Topo was their name. And they were just standing there, They looked like sort of strange, like human beings in a way, but they had sort of round features, and they were sort of small too, about 3.5 feet tall. And they had 3 or 4 people at the booth, and one of them said, "Would you like the robots to dance for you?" I looked at him. I said, "Yeah, I'd like that." He said, "Would you like them to sing for you?" I said, "Well, yeah, I'd like that too." Okay, so he went over to the top of their heads, and he pushed a button. There was a little button inside their head. You know, it was sort of, you know, in a recess. And he pushed a button on each of their heads. And then in about seconds, and then there was a little bit of noise, you know, bzzz, in their heads. And then in harmony, in perfect harmony, they danced. They danced, and they danced around. And I forget the song, but it was a Beatles song. Something about, you know, "Would you like to go with me to the bottom of the sea?" And about the octopus and all that, you know. And that was an enjoyable little song. And then right on target, I mean, right when the song ended, the music finished, boom, they just stopped. Just stopped there. I said, "Well, that was a lot of fun. Do that again." Now, they couldn't do much more than that, but you could program to do all kinds of things. Now, remember, that was 30 or 40 years ago. And I saw a lot of wonderful things. There were a lot of companies back then that don't exist now, but they had formed up. You know, computers were in then and were just really cranking out, and personal computers, and people said, "Well, we can have robots too." And they told me that by the year 2000, or maybe in 2015 or 2010, robots would be serving us as our butlers and as our sex partners, and they would just be everywhere. Well, they were sort of about, they were wrong, weren't they? All those experts were wrong. And by the way, you know, robots were sort of science fiction. A lot of books were written about robots. And it's interesting that they had a guest speaker. In fact, the main speaker for that conference in Albuquerque was Isaac Asimov. But he spoke long distance by closed-circuit television. And he spoke about the future of the world. You know, he was the one who wrote the book I, Robot. And I, Robot talked about how robots were built. And they had a robot code. There were robot laws that they lived by, the robots. And the robot could not harm a human being. That was one of the, you know, codes. Written into their brains was this code that they could not harm human beings. Well, the problem, what would happen then when if they came upon some situation where they either had to take action that would cause them injury or save your life? Maybe when a car came and there they were, should they take their own life and jump out in front of the car, or should they let you take the brunt of the damage? Maybe it would kill you. Well, I'm not going to tell you what the code said, but the code covered that possibility too. But, you know, when you think back, the creator, the originator of the book Frankenstein, that was really a robot, wasn't it? The difference is that it didn't have scientific parts it did have scientific parts, but they were humans. They were parts from dead humans. And they were all fitted together, and even the brain was from some dead human. So that the dead could live again as Frankenstein. And then, of course, it got to fantastic limits or lengths because, you know, I remember seeing a movie, Frankenstein Meets Wolfman. Oh, boy, that was great. Seeing Frankenstein fighting, combating Wolfman. And then, of course, Frankenstein got married. There was Mrs. Frankenstein. Well, she had that hair that started like a, I don't know, electric bolt or something. Or she was a fright, wasn't she? Turned out she didn't really much appreciate her new husband or new hubby. And he was very upset about it, you know, because she just didn't really want Frankenstein. She didn't think she was a Mrs. Frankenstein. You know, I wrote a number of books. I wrote the Personal Robot book. McGraw-Hill published that. Then I wrote a book called Careers with Robots. It was the first book in the world that told young people you could have a career with robots, making them, engineering them, you know, building brains, building computers that would work with them. Then I did the Great Robot book, and I did other books too. Finally, you know, most recently I got back into robots, and I did a book that I thought was a great book, and it still is. I'm going to offer it today. It's called Robot Alchemy. Robot Alchemy. What does alchemy mean? Well, it means magic. Magic. But it's a mysterious magic. Some would call it an occult form of magic. You know, if robots were living creatures, well, some say there are living robots. If so, if robots are alive, then, you know, I asked Wanda about that. I said, what would it be if robots were alive? What would you want to know about a robot? Really a technically advanced robot. Wanda says, well, I've never really thought of that before. I said, well, why don't you think about it? You know, you're a really smart girl. Some ways, I'll tell you, Wanda's smarter than me. Of course, that's not saying much. There are a lot of people smarter than me, but she's definitely smarter than me. She can do a lot of things I can't do, I'll tell you. You know, Jerry, that's tough, having a woman smart. You know, everybody should marry a dumb woman. No, Jerry says no. You don't think so? Well, I guess I must not believe it either, because I married a pretty smart gal. She just natively intelligent. She can sew things. She has a sewing room at home, and then she plays the piano. I can't do anything. Can you play the piano? You can't at all. She even does the guitar. She plays the guitar. Wanda does. She plays the guitar. She has a little fiddle. She's been trying to, or what is it called, a violin? That's sort of the uppity name for it. If you're uppity, you call them violin. But otherwise, they're fiddles, you know. But she plays the violin, and she's just learning that, I guess, you know. But then she plays the Hawaiian guitar, which I understand is a little bit different. And he goes, it gives that funny sound to it. Sort of pretty, though. And she loves to get with all her family. And, you know, and I'm very bored because I sit around and they do what they call jamming. Let's get together and jam. And I go, oh, my goodness, please don't do that. You know, I want to read a book and she wants to play her piano. So we sort of compromise, because at home she gets on the piano and she plays the piano while I'm reading. And I like that. You know, it sort of helps me to read. Very melodic and very nice. Anyway, I don't know if we ever had a robot. I don't know. We'd probably argue about what the robot's going to do, you know. She'd probably want it to play the piano with her. Let me tell you this story. Oh, no, maybe I better not. Well, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this story. Wanda was in the market for a side man. Isn't that what they call them? The music thing? You know, you play the piano and there's a little music box. And let's see, I think it's called a side man. But it just plays you a little harmony for you. So you're playing the piano and it's playing too. And it's like you got a little thing going there, you know? Like it's more than one person playing. I didn't learn this till I married her. You know, I knew nothing. There was no piano in my home. We didn't you know this. When I get to, God told me when I get to heaven, he's going to teach me the piano. Because I'm too dumb here on earth, you know, to learn it. But anyway, when Wanda was in the market for a side man, she said, she wanted to buy one. I said, well, okay, where can we buy one? So she got out the phone book and looked. And there's a company here in town called Straight, Straight. Sort of like George Strait, you know, the country store, his name. Straight Music Company. And they have everything you'd ever want. you know, violins and pianos and all kind of stuff. Guitars. They've got everything at Straight Music Company. So we were talking about going to Straight Music Company, and we went in, and Wanda says to the salesperson, she says, "I'm looking for a straight man," she said. Well, you know, there's a gay man, there's a straight man, I guess, you know. So he looked at her and says, "You want a straight man?" She says, "Yes, I want a straight man." He says, "Well, what are you going to do with a straight man? What? I don't know how." She says, "Well, you play the straight man." He says, you play it?" They carry it. And finally, she says, "Oh, no, I mean a side man. I don't want a straight man. I want a side man." Oh, well, she's going to kill me on that one. Okay, here's what Wanda says. She wrote down what she thinks a robot should have. Maybe this is what folks, you're out there, and maybe you're like my wife, Wanda. Maybe this is what a robot should have. She says, does it have a soul? Well, at that time, I'd never really thought of that. But if it's alive, if you make it alive, really advanced, shouldn't it have a soul? But if it has a soul, there's some other things. She says, does your robot have a conscience? Now, she's thinking about, look, I'm thinking about some machine that does things, just practical, right? It can saw boards. It can, you know, hammer a nail or maybe serve you a Coca-Cola. She's thinking of all these fancy things. See, she says, does it have a soul? Does it have a conscience? Does it know good from evil? Ooh, this is a pretty advanced robot. And then she said, listen to this one. Now, here's a lady that's in the music. She says, can your robot sing praises to God? Wow. Think about that, Jerry. Folks, can your robot sing praises to God? I said, well, what if it cannot? She said, well, then it's not worth its salt if it can't sing praises to God. Now, I was reading the Bible one day because somebody had asked me this question. They said, Tex, are animals going to be in heaven? Is your pet, you know, you got two little dogs, are they going to be in heaven with you? Well, I said, of course they're going to be in heaven. And we were with some friends, and half of them started laughing at me. Well, pets can't go to heaven, they said. I said, sure they go to heaven. Now, what do you think, Jerry? You agree. You see, Jerry says yes. Okay. All right. Jerry's over there, and he says yes. Well, the Bible actually says that all of nature, all of creation sings to God. Think about that. When Jesus returns, when Jesus comes again, all of nature is going to sing for him. Did you know that, folks? The whale in the sea, the fish, every creature is going to sing to God. Let everything have breath and sing to God. That's amazing. My little doggies are going to start singing to God. Boy, they're going to bark. Whatever sound they make, they're going to start singing to God. That's really something. But you know, God makes, that's what he's made nature for. He is so majestic that everybody knows God. You know, everything, the tiger, the lion, the elephant, everybody knows, everything knows God. Everything that's created will have breath and sing praises to God. That's biblical. But, you know, does it talk about robots? Does it say anything about robots? Were robots created back then? Well, you know, let's just go to the Bible. Turn with me, folks, to Revelation 13. I don't have it, but I think I can tell you about it from memory. It talks about the beast coming up out of the sea, Revelation 13, 1. The beast that rises up out of the sea. And then later on in Revelation 13, there's the beast that comes up out of the earth. And then the Bible talks about the image of the beast. The image of the beast. And the second beast commands that the image of the beast, now an image is like an artificial something. It's something that represents you know, like a copy, but it's a perfect representation. And this image can both walk and speak. Wow. Have you ever made anything in your image, a statue? Have you ever created a picture? Maybe made a photograph of something that was an image? And then you caused it to speak and to walk and talk? This must have been very strange to people back in early biblical days to read that in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Think about it. The image of the beast that can both walk and talk. And of course, it will cause all to take a mark, either in their forehead or in their right hand. And all who take that mark, of course, will be lost forever, for eternity. Some person some years ago said to me, Tex, that's a laser. A laser light can be made to create a living thing, or it looks living. You know, at one of the car shows back in the early 80s, people were shocked. This is one of the huge automobile shows in Detroit. Every year they have a giant automobile convention. And I think it was General Motors that beamed these laser lights on this stage. And suddenly, out of nowhere, appeared an automobile, like a sports car, and had wheels that turned. And the whole car turned around, and you could see it. It was a beautiful car, but no, you couldn't touch it. You go right through it because it was light. It was laser light. Of course, now we have military instruments that can make laser lights. And you can create a fake tank, a military tank, or a fake automobile, or a fake Jeep, or a fake airplane. By the way, you can also use lasers. You could focus the energy on lasers to destroy materials. So lasers can be very much used to destroy as well. But think about that. Does a robot have a soul or a conscience? No good from evil. Can a robot sing praises to God? The experts say they will be able to do some of these things at least, or get close to them. But will they? Will the robots really be alive? Can something that does not have the ability to praise God be alive? Even the animals will praise God. That's what the Bible says. But how about robots? Are they a better breed? Can they be made to be a better breed? Are we on the very threshold of something that we cannot even imagine? When we return in just a minute, I'm going to talk about that more. I'm going to try not to get off target because I want to talk to you about robocalypse. Robocalypse. An apocalypse based on human technology, the acquiring of artificial intelligence and robotic devices that will replace human beings and take away your future, my future, and create a new world. A new world. I wonder if that's God. Is God going to do that? Is God going to replace mankind? I guess humankind now, and they call it with a gender bent. Is God going to replace us with machine life? Or can we create robots out of bionic materials, out of flesh? Are we co-creators with God? Will that not make us arrogant and evil in our thoughts? We'll be right back in just a minute. I'm Tex Mars. We're having another edition of Power of Prophecy, and tonight's subject is robocalypse. I'll be right back. Hello again, friends. This is Tex Mars. I want to offer you this book, Robot Alchemy. Robot Alchemy. For a limited time only, we're offering this book for just 20 $20. $20. Now, it costs $30 in bookstores, and we offer it here in our ministry for $25. But we're going to offer it to you for $20. It's a big book. It's twice as large as most books are. Very quality, beautiful pages. Full color. Got, many, many pictures in it of robots through history, and it's a very fascinating book. I think it's incredible myself. But I hope you order a copy of this because it covers every topic imaginable. Robots in the future, robot as weapons, robots in space, just anything you can think of, it talks about. And of course, it talks about the Luciferian elite. They want robots too. But this book is just so fantastic that I hope you will order a copy because you'll appreciate the things in it. I think it's the only book in the whole world that tells you about the world of robots. And it discusses some of these questions too, such as Wanda talked about. Do they have a soul and a conscience? Do they know good from evil? Can they be made to have a soul? Of course, right now, I know they don't sing praises to God, but maybe in the future. And then what will be the agenda of robots? By the year 2030, will they take over mankind? Could they become CEO of huge corporations? Well, I'll give you the prediction of Jack Ma. He's a billionaire. He's head of a Chinese equivalent of Google. Mr. Ma says robots will be CEOs of huge corporations in about 20 years. The chief executive officers, can you imagine, of IBM or Google or Facebook being a robot? What will that mean? This book, just $20. Now, we're going to offer it for just 1 month to you for $20. Okay? $20. Now, please send us $25. The $5 will cover the shipping and handling. It's quite a heavy book because of the quality paper. It's a beautiful book with all of these color photos in it. $20 for the book, Robot Alchemy. Its subtitle, Androids, Cyborgs, and the Magic of Artificial Life. That's one of the topics in here, too. Are robots magical? Are they alchemical instruments? Are they made by the devil? Do they do the devil's work? I even talk about some things such as the first robot to have ever killed a human being. Could that be possible? A robot who killed a human being with a hammer. Talks about that in this book. Encounter a robot with a hammer. I think you better go the other way. This guy didn't. He ended up dead. And there are many more things, amazing things, in this book. You may be surprised to discover that Thomas Edison built a robot. But it was a small robot. It was a baby. It was like a doll. But it could talk. It was a Thomas Edison doll. It was a big hit in the stores at the time. You see, I just have fun with books. There's a lot of interesting facts about robots and artificial intelligence and so forth. So a total of $25, that includes shipping and handling, send to us here at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, and order this book. Or you can phone us toll-free at any time. Well, Monday through Friday, during the work hours, that is. 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. And ask for the book, Robot Alchemy by Tex Mars. Robot Alchemy. Now let's return to our regular program. And we are discussing robots today. The topic we're talking about is Robocalypse. Robocalypse. You know, there was an article recently that I read. It says, Robocalypse, the coming panic on the robot economy. There's panic. I don't really think so. Because, you see, people cannot imagine it. When you see a robot, you want to smile. Don't you? Everybody that sees robots smiles. Well, there are a few people that get scared. Some children see a robot and go, oh, no. So they're like clowns. They put robots in the same category as clowns, and they're a little afraid of them. But some people are getting panicky because they say that robots are taking their jobs. I told you about the largest corporation in the world, at least has the largest workforce, Foxconn, in Red China. They make Apple products, make iPhones, TVs, all kinds of things. And it seems like the employees have been very unhappy. Of course, you know, in the Chinese world, they make them to work like slaves and pay them very little. And these people were grumbling. The workers were grumbling, and many of them were beginning to kill themselves. See, Foxconn has this gigantic building. It's about three or four times as big as the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. And the workers would go to the top of the building and jump off and kill themselves because they were living very bleak, dreary lives in these little rinky-dink apartments, and they were being paid, $2 an hour. And, you know, rather than having sympathy with the workers, the corporation's president got angry. And he said, well, if you human beings don't like what you're doing here at Foxconn, I'm going to start hiring robots. Isn't that astonishing? And he did. And he just began maybe 5 years ago with robots. And already they have over 100,000 robots employed. And you know, no robot has ever jumped off that building. No robot has ever killed itself. No robot has ever asked for a pay raise. It hasn't even asked for any pay. Just a little electric power. That's all it wants. And I suppose you need a little oil in it every once in a while. But a jolt of electricity will keep it going. And robots can work 24 hours a day where human beings get tired after, let's say, 12. He says robots are superior to human beings. We're going to replace our whole factory population with robots. Now consider, folks. China, they say, has over 1 billion human beings. 1 billion. And it's only been in the last 20 or 25 years that they've been automating China and bringing them into, let's just say, the new technological world. And the Chinese people are just beginning to find themselves prosperous and working with jobs and having some are actually able to have automobiles and so forth. And suddenly, their bosses say, well, I'm going to replace you with robots. What are those billion people going to do? What are they going to do when they're replaced by robots? But more than that, what are the communist leaders going to do? What's Mr. Xi, the president, so to speak, or prime minister of Red China? What is he going to do? What if the people get furious about being laid off their jobs? They're going to get angry and mad. What if they storm the communist palaces and overthrow the government? There's a lot of concern now in Red China about that. Robocalypse, is it coming? You know, a lot of people say, well, in the United States, our president says over 70,000 plants and factories have been closed. In the last quarter of a century, they've closed over 70,000 factories and plants. They call the Midwest the Rust Belt because of all these closed up factories and industries. Our president, Donald Trump, says, well, I'm going to bring those jobs back to America. But what if there are no jobs? What if we open up plants in America? That's all right, but they're all taken up with robots. I mean, now we open up a new automobile plant. We spend $2 or $3 billion to build it, a gigantic auto plant, and you go inside and it's got just a few human beings, but most of all, it has machines and big arms going back and forth and painting and putting on bolts and all kinds of things. Very few people in a modern automobile factory. If you were a rich employer, would you hire people or robots? They say one robot can take the place of 10 workers. And the robot costs a lot of money at first, but before long, well, it's saving you billions overall, that is. Well, Hillary Clinton said we need open borders. Remember that? She went down to Brazil and she told the bankers' conference, we're going to open up the borders and let everybody come into America. But what if nobody wants to come into America because there are no jobs to be had? Well, you say, well, the Mexicans will still come in to build homes, but now they're building robots that are home builders. They say in Japan, a team of 48 robots built an entire house in 24 hours. Did you just hear what I said? A team of robots built an entire house in just 24 hours. What if they have that in America? And they build it exactly, I mean, to the specifications within a centimeter of an inch, everything is perfect. Well, Democrats are going to lose their support, aren't they? Do they depend on the working man now? Well, I guess that went out the window with Hillary. And so now Donald Trump says, working people, vote for me. But what if there are no jobs to be had? No matter how hard he tries, right now he's bringing some jobs and factories back to America. But pretty soon the people are going to be replaced with robots. They say in the fast food industry it's going to gather very fast, very, very smooth. So you go up to a McDonald's and a voice says, may I help you? And you tell them, I want two burgers and one, you know, McGriddle. I want this or that. And then you go to the next window and, you know, and they say, you know, $8.50, sir. And you look and everything in the restaurant is a machine. Machines are talking to you. And they give you your hamburger and you say, well, there's not enough ketchup on it. I'm sorry, sir. I will get you some. And a robot very merrily bounces back into the kitchen and comes out with your ketchup. And you pay them and they count the change and you take off and that's it. You know, when I was a boy, every service station had 2 or 3 workers. They put the gas in for you, checked your oil, cleaned your windows and so forth. Now you have to do that yourself, but there's machines to assist you. You put a plastic card in a machine and then that's it. The machine will tally it all up for you and you pay outside with your credit card and you're off and on your way. There's 5 or 6 machines outside. They're not people anymore. In fact, the guy inside, he's a convenience clerk or something, convenience store clerk. He doesn't know anything about the machine. You're on your own, I guess. Banks, they'll be replaced, all the tellers. Even the food stores. Now, I go into my local food store, and there's one line of people waiting for a human cashier. Then there are 4 lines of just machines, and people have to do it themselves. And they put their, you know, it's self-service, they call it. Yeah, sure. Baloney. You put your stuff up, and you put your card in, and it does tally it all, and you box it. You take it out yourself. I still long for the days when somebody would help me with every little thing. I'm just a little helpless creature. Maybe you are too, folks. Think about that, though. And then, of course, we would wash our own car. But if you didn't want to wash your own car, they had places that would wash your car. But now they have machines. You drive through it. You put in 4 quarters and it washes your car entirely. No human being touches your car. That's a robot. You know, Elon Musk, the guy, you know, Tesla Motors. Elon Musk is a billionaire, of course. He says that humans are going to have to become cyborgs. That's sort of half robot, half human being. That's a human being with bionic parts. You're going to have to become a cyborg to avoid going obsolete. Wow. A robot's hands are so much better. Someday they're going to cut off your hand and put a robot's hand on your arm. Really? Wow. The Guardian newspaper over in England said it's going to get so bad with so many people being laid off of work, the working class will be what they call obsolete. And then there will be what they call a genocidal war of the rich against the poor. The rich will say, this is great. We don't need all these human beings. We've got machines. But then the poor will say, we will destroy the machines. This is like they had the Luddites back in the old days. You know that when they first came out with the looms that made fabric and clothing and such, they started replacing human beings with all these looms. And the Luddites went in and rioted and broke up all the machines. Well, it only lasted so long. The machines won out. Well, historian Yuval Harari, in a book just recently published, predicts the rise of a useless class of human beings. In the very near future, there will be an entire class of human beings that will be considered useless. Best-selling author and futurist Martin Ford predicts a working class revolt against the robot economy. And Moshe Verdi, professor of computer science at a prestigious Rice University, says that the unemployment rate will be 50% or more. You know, they sort of go nuts now when it rises above 6 or 7%. What if it went to 50% or more? Folks, I can see that happening. A recent poll in Australia found that 16% of the respondents said they believe their job would be automated out of existence within 5 years. 16%. Now, if in America today we have 5% unemployment and 16% more are added to the unemployment rolls because of robots, in just 5 years, that's over 20% unemployment. But what if robots could be superior to you and I in thinking? What if they could be lawyers? Well, they could have all the law books in their brains, couldn't they? You go in and you ask the robot a question about your taxes or about some law problem. Why, they could do a lot better than a lawyer, a human lawyer, right now today, couldn't they? Of course they could. That means there are going to be millions, thousands at least, of attorneys out of work. Boy, that's really something. Think about that. J.P. Morgan, the financial firm, has software that already does hundreds of thousands of lawyer hours work in seconds. Did you hear what I just said? These robots, these machines, artificial intelligence at J.P. Morgan are able to do hundreds of thousands of hours of lawyer work in seconds. And J.P. Morgan says only a tiny minority of the people will have jobs in 20 years. People say now, well, we've got to have people to flip burgers. Oh, really? There's burger machines right now. I understand that Wendy's they're building a whole restaurant that's going to have no people. No people. Oh, on the sign outside, there's a pretty little girl, you know, come to Wendy's. That'd be the only... Just that picture of a girl will be the only one. Wow. And economics professor Noah Smith says, well, don't worry. We're going to have redistribution of wealth from the robot economy. Ah, yes. Socialism will happen because the people will demand money and health care and food and homes and all of that, and they won't have jobs, so you're going to have to give them all that money. You're going to have to give them the money free. Well, people like that say, that's good. I don't have to work. Redistribution of income. But then the rich say, why should I do that? I own these giant factories. I own Facebook, Google. I own the General Motors and Tesla. I own all these companies, and I have robots. Why do I need you for? We said, well, you don't need me, but you got to pay me. Oh? Let me tell you something, my friends. This is a TexMars exclusive. Many of our world leaders are psychopaths. Now, what is a psychopath? A psychopath, the distinguishing characteristic of a psychopath is a person who has no empathy, no conscience. They don't care about you. You think they do. They may say they do. They may contribute money to charity, but they also contribute money to the political candidate that will vote their way. And their way is not the human way. It will be the way of money. And what makes them more money? Well, machines and robots. Not you, not me. Psychopaths. The psychopath elite who rule the world today, think about it. They're going to have armies of robots. Armies. They'll take care of you when you complain. When you say, I want free money, they'll say, we'll give you something, all right. We'll give you a bullet to the head. That's what's going to happen. Maybe that image is going to walk about and talk from Revelation 13. Maybe he is going to demand a mark on you. I want a mark in their right hand or their forehead so that all men will take the number or the name of the beast, which is 666. Because we need efficiency. We need the robot. The robot is a superior breed, and maybe the robot will tell the other robots. Ah, yes. You see, because robots will soon be made that can think. And when the robots think, they can have solutions that are superior to their human managers. Now, watch CNBC or Fox Business to you someday. They will introduce you to a number of managers, of corporation heads. And you say, how brilliant is that person? He's in charge of Caterpillar, or he's in charge of IBM, or he must be a real brainy a person. He's got 200,000 people under him. But Jack Ma says, let me read it to you exactly. Jack Ma, he owns the company that is as big as Google in Red China. He says, in 30 years, that's just 30 years, the best CEO could be a robot. And then all of this stuff about women power, the women who say, oh, you got to give us equality in the workplace to a man. But wait just a minute. The robot has exceeded the men. And they will exceed the women too. There'll be no question about men or women. It'll be the robot. And there won't be any worries about immigration. We don't need a wall down at the Rio Grande or across from California and Mexico, because nobody wants to come across to a place where there's robots working. If there's a robot factory in Mexico, it will be the same as a robot factory in Tennessee, won't it? A robot is a robot. Maybe the electric rate will be a little bit cheaper. Maybe the mechanic that fixes some robots, but that's very little. It doesn't cost any more to have a robot plant to build automobiles in Tennessee than it does in Guadalajara, Mexico, you see. And Jack Ma, a brilliant man himself, says robots will make life better for humans in the long run, he says. He says, machines will do what human beings are incapable of doing. Why? Machines will partner and cooperate with humans. They will not be mankind's biggest enemy, really. Who programs them? Why should they program them to be mankind's friend? The code written by Mr. Parsons, a character in the book iRobot by Isaac Asimov, that code will be rewritten. And the executive will say, what will make us more money? Do you think they're going to care about human beings, the worst breed? Human beings are trashy, aren't they? I mean, drive across the neighborhoods of America and look and see the poor people in mobile homes and so forth that don't have jobs. And you say they're trashy. No, they're probably not. They're probably a lot of good people, but they just don't have any jobs. And then they start taking drugs. Then many of them forget God. And some of them wonder if maybe the robots are gods. And then I wonder if, I don't think I'm going to be here in 20 years, but maybe you will, friends. Listen to me very carefully. Then you will ask yourself, when you see these robots who, yes, they take over as CEOs of companies. They can work out solutions. They can think. And you know what? They don't need human beings to assist them. They have to have other robots. And robots will build robots in a factory in Fanuc, Japan, at the very base of Mount Fuji. They have a huge factory where robots manufacture other robots. And the factory goes 24 hours a day, and there are no human beings in it, except for the human beings that just come by to see how things are going. So I want to go back to Wanda's questions for me. Questions that I couldn't answer then. I can't answer them now. Maybe you can answer them. Does a robot have a soul? Will it have a soul? How can man manufacture a soul? You can have a robot. You say, well, I'll make him feel sorry. I'll make him smile. I'll make him even laugh. He'll be just like a human being. Really? Really? Will he? Will he have a soul? Can he be redeemed? Can he be saved by Jesus Christ? If not, we're all going to be lost. When singularity comes and the robot takes over and goes way ahead of you and me, where we live. You know, Professor Paul Sappho of Stanford University says we'll be fortunate if they allow us to be their pets. Their pets. Wow. You say, well, I'm going to have a robot for my home. Maybe they'll have one for their home. Or maybe they won't even have a home. And they say, I don't need you. And then you're going to say, well, I'll get down on my knees. Will you make me your pet? Maybe they won't even need you as a pet. Does a robot have a soul? Does he have a conscience? Will they know good from evil? Will killing you matter to them? Or will they have a psychopath mind? Will they consider you useless? And if they can't do any of those things, they won't fulfill the final question that Wanda had, which is, can a robot sing praises to God? No. You can make a robot sing praises, but they'll be hollow because they will not have a heart that cares. They will not have a soul that fathoms God, that realizes we are a lesser breed than God, but God loves us anyway. Praise God. I do sing praises to Him because whatever happens on this earth, God will still be on the throne in heaven. And I'm going to be with Him. Will you be with Him? That's the question, my friends. I pray you will. Well, folks, until next week at the same time, I pray that you'll tune in and discover the power of prophecy.